The wonderful thing about the Psalms is that they are conversations with God, sometimes, and they are conversations with people at other times as well. But sometimes they're both. Sometimes they're both a conversation with God and a conversation with people, and even a conversation with himself as he writes the psalm. And here is one such psalm. Psalm 37. We're not reading the whole psalm, but we're just dipping into different parts of it. Don't worry about the wicked, or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper, or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. May God bless to us his word. One of the recurring themes that we find in the Psalms, one of the things that concerns different psalmists as you read through the whole of the psalmody, is that the wicked seem to advance in life at the expense of the rest of us. And what is meant by the wicked or evil is those people who live their life with no regard for God, and most often no regard for other people. Indeed, no regard for anyone but themselves. And when the writer writes these words, he is focusing his attention on those whom he would have seen living that kind of life in his own culture or in other cultures around him. But that same thing could be multiplied down through the different generations. And in our own time, in our own generation, within the last century, the havoc wreaked by others, and seemingly without any consequences, has been unthinkable. Each generation has its own IS, if you like. And we only need to look back, and we look back from IS to Rwanda, and we look back from Rwanda to Mao Zedong, and we look back from there, and you keep on looking back, and you see again and again and again the rise of the wicked, the rise of those who have no regard for God. We remember today 9/11. And in remembering 9/11, we're remembering what was the beginning of something that caused so much havoc throughout the whole world. And perhaps much of what we see happening today is the fallout from that. And you have all of that there, different regimes, and then you have individuals. Individuals who are perhaps known to us, who cause havoc in other people's lives, havoc maybe in our own lives, who have no regard for anyone but themselves. They seem to be okay. And it disturbs us. Rightly so sometimes. It unsettles us. Rightly so sometimes. What can we do about it? How can we change those who don't want to be changed? How can we impact on those lives that have shut themselves off from God or from goods? And the advice of the psalmist is, don't worry. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. Isn't that interesting? Envy those who do wrong. There are people who live life in a wrong way and have so much, and it's very easy to envy them. Don't allow yourself, says the psalmist, to be overwrought by what you see. That doesn't mean to say we're to be indifferent. That doesn't mean to say that we are to take every step available to us to put a stop to people hurting other people. But the psalmist is saying that we've got to get everything into ultimate perspective. For like grass, they will soon fade away, and like spring flowers, they will soon wither. Think of those who have wreaked havoc. Think of Adolf Hitler, who exercised such power and now powerless in hell as he awaits judgment. Think of Joseph Stalin and the havoc he wreaked among Europeans and among his own people, helpless in hell awaiting punishment. Think of Mao Zedong. Think of. Take it down to even smaller levels. Their time has come and their time has gone forever. And they will have to stand before the great God of the universe. And they will be called to account. They have already been called to account. And they stand helpless. In fact, they don't stand. What's interesting, if you read Psalm 1, it says that the wicked will not stand on the day of judgment. They won't even have that capacity. Because if you can stand, you can run. And they will not have that capacity either. The wicked will not stand, it says in Psalm 1, verse 5. And so there is a sobering sense of reality about the psalmist as he begins the psalm. And it's a sobering sense of reality because he is obviously confronted with something similar to this. And it is getting him down. And he has to get it into perspective. He has, for his own peace, to see things from a divine understanding. But what about people who do wrong to us? What about people who hurt us, who demean us, who wrongly accuse us, who in some way put us down? What's the psalmist saying to us that we've got to do there? What is his advice for us in the day-to-day situations where these things happen? We've got to learn to let go, he says. We've got to learn to forgive, and we've got to learn to let go. What you're saying is difficult. And what I'm saying is it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to follow God's path. It wasn't even easy for God to follow that path. Look how much it cost him. And we will be focusing on that next week at communion. But we've got to learn to let go and forgive and let go. Abby, you're saying, you know, when I do that, it feels good, it feels right, and it comes back. And it comes back again and again. And the only answer say to that is, you've got to keep letting go and you've got to keep forgiving, or you will never have any sense of peace. You notice I didn't say forget. And I'm not quite so sure about that. And I'm not quite so sure that God expects that of us, because memory is something that we cannot erase. And sometimes for our own sanity, we cannot forget. But we can let go and we can forgive. And if we're not prepared to let go and we're not prepared to give, then we're not prepared to walk the path that God has called us. Travel steadily along this path, he says. And then he turns to his hearers and says this, neither are we to envy. We're not to envy those who do wrong. And really what he's saying is that when we envy those who do wrong, we're saying, look what they're getting out of life that I'm not getting. And they're not behaving themselves. They're not doing right. They're not behaving well. And yet they're succeeding. Look at the power that they've got. Look at the wealth that they've got. Look at the status they've got. And much of what happens in our society is envy driven. Because so much advertising is saying to us, look what you've not got. And look what you could have. And the fact that you've not got it somehow diminishes you. And if you get this, it will somehow increase you. There are some people we know who would fall into a cesspit and still come up smelling of roses. And maybe either one of them might become President of the United States. We've got to step back. We've got to ask ourselves whether what we are being encouraged towards is in fact envy. And so the psalmist turns round and he asks us to have a different focus. He says, instead of living life that way, here's another way to do it. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in Him. Delight in the Lord, he says. Have a relationship with Him. And the satisfaction that comes from these things will be far better than anything else that you envy. Commit everything to Him, says the psalmist. There's faith again. Be still in the presence of the Lord. A relationship that's maturing through spirituality, through time spent in reflection, through time spent in prayer. But then the psalmist, as he continues here, knows that it's never easy. Because as soon as he said that, he says, stop being angry. Stop your rage. And you come back again to the fact that these things are caused, what, by envy, he says. And these things always lead to harm, especially to yourself. Who is it who gets hurt more when other people hurt you? You do when you cannot let go. And then in verse 16 he says, it is better to have lived a godly life with little than to be evil and possess much. Why is that? Because God delights in this kind of life. Because possessions can possess us. And when they possess us, there is no room for that which is good and better. But Lord, what about evil? Says the psalmist. And this whole argument just goes on and on and on till he gets to verse 34. And where the psalmist says, don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Two things, he says. Don't be impatient for God to act, and travel steadily along His path. Here you see the two things hanging together. You know, sometimes when we were children, we had to acknowledge that our parents knew best. Whether we liked it or not, our parents knew best. And you know, what amazes me is that by the time you get into your 40s or my own age and you reflect as you're looking at your own children and trying to get the same message across to them, you realize that 99.9% of your time your parents were right and you should have listened. And much pain would have been avoided. And it's the same that's true with living a life that is centered properly. God will act. God will react. God will do what is right. Always. But you've got to be patient because He doesn't always run to your agenda. But in the meantime, journey with God steadily along His path. Follow the ancient path. the ancient path that people have walked for generations now, and one that has been successful. And then he closes with these words of encouragement. There is a wonderful future for those who love peace. What a way to end it. A wonderful future for those who love peace. For those who embrace the way of the Lord is to embrace the way of peace. And to embrace the way of peace is simply to follow the way of the Lord. And that's always what is best. Amen.